You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living.
Welcome home, Radiant Creators. The point of Radiant Creators truly is to interview inspiring people to inspire others. VP of No Nonsense Forex, he is a master spot Forex trader. If you have no interest in trading whatsoever, don't stop listening. This is great stuff because this podcast really is about making your life work, getting rid of what does not work, and just being outright powerful. As VP says, say you want to be an astronaut, but you've got a heroin problem. Doesn't matter how hard you try to be an astronaut, it's not going to happen when you have the heroin problem. How many of us have shit in the way that keeps us from being successful? So, if you're not completely where you want to be, this interview is going to help you get those addictions, those bad habits out of the way, and you'll be more powerful. So I had a great time doing this interview. Listen up. This is powerful stuff. Thanks for being here. I'm going to do a really brief intro. You are VP from No Nonsense Forex, the YouTube channel, also the website, nonsenseforex.com. And there's something I like in your about section there on the website that says, most people are stuck because they don't know any other way. And even if they did, they developed really bad habits that will take them down no matter how well they trade. The only way out of this is a no-nonsense approach that tells you things nobody out there is saying and shows you things nobody else is doing. So it seems like over time you developed through trial and error, you know, beating your head against the wall, a system for Forex trading that works. So I guess let's start with a little bit about yourself, who you are, and you know, how did you get to that moment when you said, you know, I figured something out and I'm going to help people, because the amount of content you're putting out and the quality that you're putting out, it's a lot of work. I mean, you truly have a passion for helping people.
Yeah, it's really odd. I've met people in the past that have put together systems that have worked. And your normal archetype of a professional Forex trader is kind of an aloof jerk in a lot of ways, to the point to where they've found something and they've put a lot of work into it, but they don't want to share it with anybody. They want to hoard it. And I understand that. I kind of felt that way myself for a long time because I knew I was putting in work that nobody else was putting in, and I finally got to a certain spot. And once you do that, you're like, well, do I want to just go ahead and share this with everybody, or do I want to just keep it to myself and make money and have that be the end of it? So it wasn't a slam dunk choice, really. I had to really think about it. And I was like, well, there's probably a reason why nobody is sharing their secrets. But let me go ahead and float this out there and see what happens and see what the response is and just kind of take it from there. So that's what I did.
No, I like it. And then, so you've got a good amount of traffic on your blog, I'd imagine. I can't see that traffic, but I imagine it's good, because on your YouTube, the traffic is, you have quite a lot. And I mean, what's it like managing the amount of traffic you've got? I mean, lots of comments, you got lots of feedback, you've got an active Discord channel. So I mean, I like the fact that you just did it to see what would happen, and it's worked. So what's life like after it worked?
Well, I didn't really expect it to work this way. You know, I always said it before, if I put in a year and I was just talking to maybe 20 or 25 people that were really into it and really interested in what we were doing, I would have kept going no matter what. I mean, that's plenty enough to motivate me. But the people that did find it early on liked it so much and took it viral. And that's how we got to where we are. I will say, I think the podcast had a lot to do with that. I think there was a real white space in podcasting in general for Forex. I've seen the podcasts that were there before. They were more interview based. They weren't super helpful to people. And I felt like I could probably get in there. And that is what I really attribute my early traffic to, were podcast listeners. And most of the people who were watching me on YouTube and all that were podcast listeners. And from there, it kind of spidered out over time. So lesson in there, if you find a white space on anything you're talking about and you want to start a podcast, it's a really good idea.
And it took you quite a while to get to be a successful Forex trader. It sounds like, I mean, what was your background like in, I guess you could say, I think many traders feel like they're failing their way to success, beating their head against the wall until they make it through. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have mentioned that. I love your commentary because, like, in one of the videos, it's called "The Best FX Trading Tip I Have for 2019." Crucial. You say, so you want to be an astronaut, but you also love doing heroin.
Yeah.
I mean, so I feel like people who are trading, we all have our troubles and there's a lot of discouragement, but you kept at it until you became successful. And then you also created a method, a documented method of, look, here's how you can do it. And your method truly differs from the norm, I would say. So what was it like failing your way to success?
Pretty brutal. I mean, I moved to Las Vegas in 2006 and I bought into the dream and bought a condo that I had no business buying. And so I was underwater immediately. And even though I was making decent money doing what I was doing, it wasn't enough to really cover expenses. And it was pretty brutal. And I had to find a different way because it wasn't going to get better unless I did something. And so you tend to overreach and get a bit desperate when this happens, especially when you just don't know any better. So I dabbled in penny stocks at first and hit my first one. And I mean, it's like hitting your first slot pull, you know, on a slot machine ever. You know, you think you're going to make a career out of it. So that ruined me because I immediately lost all that money many times over. I said, okay, I need to find something else. So Forex came along soon after that. And I learned about it. And I usually don't learn things very well the first time. But this I did. I resonated with it right away and I got really excited. And I said to myself, okay, this is what I want to do now. I will do whatever I have to do because I cannot sit here and wait tables and try to pay for this stupid condo that I can't afford for too much longer. There has to be a way out. And this looks to really be a great way to do that. So yeah, you're right. I listened to everybody out there. They were all saying the same thing. So when they all say the same thing, I figured, well, this must be the way to go. So I tried it and it just didn't work. And I was like, well, God, there's got to be another way, right? This can't be it. So I pioneered and blazed my own trail. I found out there were other ways. Nobody's really doing them, but they're out there. So I tried it and put together and failed until I just ran out of ways to fail. And then I slowly started putting things together. I still made a ton of mistakes. It's, you know, there's a reason why that video you just talked about was one of my first videos. Because I want people to know, look, it doesn't matter what you do and how well you learn it. If you don't get those stupid, bad habits out of the way first, they will always take you down. They will always roadblock you. So work on recognizing those first so you can get them out of the way. And so once you start putting all those things together, and if you look at my YouTube comments and comments on Twitter and things like that, you can see it's clicking with people right away and they're seeing results right away, which is very, very unusual in this industry. But it's happening. So it's proof and validation that the choice I made to go ahead with this was a really good choice.
I think it's in the art. Well, it is in the art of war where it says, if you want your, you know, army to win, have them fight with their back against the cliff. You know, you really have no choice. I mean, you threw yourself in there, like you basically had to be successful.
Yeah, it was either that or almost go backwards and say, okay, maybe I need to go back to school and learn something else. I mean, which I couldn't imagine doing. You know, it was, I think I mentioned this before too, is in one of my videos, it was the curse of the smart kid. I was always the smart kid growing up. You know, that was my identity. You know, I wasn't the the super athletic kid. I wasn't the funny kid. You know, I wasn't the most charming kid. You know, that's, I was the smart kid. And so when you have that crown placed on your head very early on, it really screws with you, because then you almost feel like this pressure to be something amazing, because you know, since you were little, everybody says that you're destined for great things. And then when that doesn't quite happen, you really come to a crossroads and say, okay, something has to happen and I will do whatever I have to do to get there. And I think you're right. Yeah. That backs against the wall mentality really pushes you. Because since I was always a smart kid growing up, I wasn't always super motivated because I didn't need to be. You know, I could ace any test you put in front of me. So when the time came to where you actually had to work hard and study and make things happen, it's, you know, the learning curve for me on that was great, because I almost had to start over because I never had to do that before. So, yeah. So that really, you know, my 20s were not the greatest time of my life because you have this expectation, but you just never learned to work hard and figure things out and make things happen on your own. It always just came natural. And now it's not. And the real world punches you in the face and you got to figure it out.
So. Yeah, lengthy educations, like going back to school, that sounds kind of dreadful to me also, because lengthy educations are kind of like trading wrong. You know, it's only a matter of luck if they pay off. I mean, a lot of people are doing it, but I think it seems to have a diminishing return. I mean, unless you want to be a brain surgeon, it seems like a lot of effort to... and then who wants to be a brain surgeon anyway? I don't. I mean, given the choice, there's just easier shit to do in life. I mean, unless you really like brains. But you mentioned, you know, failing until you run out of ways to fail. I mean, that is a perfect statement, really. Fail until you run out of ways to fail. You just keep working at it. You got your back against the cliff, and you got no choice but make it. I mean, that is it's kind of a way that I like to approach things too. I mean, I started just trading crypto because I had a little bit of experience trading from a long time ago. And then crypto came along and I started doing that. And the corporate world, I'm working in IT, just became more and more dreadful by the day. Mm-hmm. And I decided that, F it, you know, I can make a living doing this and I will. And there's just no other option. So it's terrifying, but I don't know. My daily concerns right now, even though they're a bit dire sometimes, because you got to make money, you got to keep learning, you got to get better. But at the same time, I'm not worried about having to manage systems that support, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of users. And, you know, I'm being pushed to do things that I know are a bad idea.
Right. Now,
it is always a better life to have your life under your own control, make it or break it.
Isn't it though? I mean, even if I completely fell on my face, I at least knew I did it the way I wanted to do it. It's like Gary Vaynerchuk says, you know, you get one at bat at life. And so if that is truly the case, then if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging. I couldn't live with myself if I went down just watching. So I agree with that. And it's amazing what happens if you just actually take all that knowledge you were blessed with and put it to use, even in times of desperation, what can happen every once in a while.
Yeah. And if you have corporate experience, you've been working in like the big corporate world, you realize that you're, you know, you might say, at least for myself, I can speak and say my half-assed motivation, never what I was truly capable of, made so many bad ideas work.
You're right. so true. And just think what could be if you just got out of that incubator and put yourself out there.
Oh yeah. People would often say when I was working in the regular IT world, they'd say, wow, you know, something I like about you is you always do your best. And I'd say, come over here, man. Let me tell you something. I would never, ever bother. like, do you know how much trouble that would be? And this dump isn't worth it. You know, and so, yeah, and that's unfortunately not a very motivated way to live your life. That bleeds over into everything.
It does. And yeah, and kind of based off of what you said too, I was in the corporate world for a very small amount of time. And in the back of my mind, I would always think, you know, do my best, what, for these people? For what? To achieve their end goal and not mine? You know, I couldn't imagine doing that. So you're right. It's just a matter of getting rid of it. And for some people, that's really hard to do. I was fortunate I didn't have a wife or kids to rely on. They were relying on me. You know, I had every reason to break out and do this. So there's really no reason not to. So that's why I did.
No, I like it. You found some white space and you filled it. And that's a wonderful thing. Well, in one of your actual, here on the show, we interview, we talk to all kinds of people. We're always looking for, you know, inspiring people to inspire others. That's kind of the core of, you know, Radiant Creators podcast. And we do have a lot of crypto people that listen, and we've done a lot of, you know, crypto interviews and such. And most crypto people that I know, I like them, of course, and they seem to be in it for two reasons. One is they want to make money, and they're trading, and they want to make money. But they also tend to think it's a bit of a peaceful revolution, like it's something good for the world. So people, I found a lot of people who have broken from the corporate norm, and they're going, well, I want to make money, and I can make money doing this, but also I feel like I'm doing something good. I lend my hand to, I wipe the sweat off my brow, doing something that I feel is at least not, at worst, it's not bad for the world. So I guess something I might ask is, what do you, like, as a trader, what are you seeing in crypto these days? Like, do you trade crypto at all? And what do you think of it as far as, like, what's it about? Like, what's a VP's view on crypto and crypto trading right now?
So I've come around a bit. If you listen to my very first podcast episode, I did an episode zero, but then episode one was the top four questions I get as a Forex trader. And back then, especially, the crypto question would always come up. And I was like, look, I'm not a crypto guy. I can't really speak on this. But I've come around quite a bit because it looks like it's really a great time to start accumulating. If you're going to do it, like, you better do it now. So I've been looking into it more. Now, I have a kind of a unique view on this because I told you before I was a penny stock trader. And penny stocks, and at least the first edition of the crypto run, had a lot in common. In penny stocks, you find these little companies and they have a lot going for them and they're trying to revolutionize something somewhere. And then all these great stories come out, everybody gets really excited about it, and you can get in for very, very cheap. Most of them fall apart, but every once in a while, some of them take off, and you get to watch this happen in the penny stock world almost weekly, once or twice a week, sometimes more. And that's where the mania really comes in. So even if you don't make it, you still want in because all it takes is one. So when crypto did what it did and then came back down, I was like, well, this is nothing I haven't seen before. But it was something that a lot of crypto people have experienced for the first time. I mentioned it before too. Once it got up to right about 1800, once Bitcoin did, I was screaming to people, I'm like, guys, look, you're brand new at this. You don't know how to manage investments and trades because this is your first time. Please believe me when I tell you this. Take something off, you know, cash out a little bit. And they're like, no, we're gonna hold this because somebody told me that it's going to go 10 times higher. And then it didn't, because that guy who said it's going 10 times higher really had nothing to base it on. It was a random opinion. And a lot of people who were listening to people who said it was going to go to the moon like that were wrong. And so I think this time around, they're going to learn from that. And I think it's going to be a completely different ballgame. And the people who had the sense to stick with it and to buy more during times like right now are really going to see it pay off in the end. Based on the assumption that, A, this is going to be how we exchange money in the future, and B, blockchain really is the answer. Because from what I've seen, the one thing all of these crypto tokens and coins have in common is the blockchain. So they just better hope that, A, it is the answer, and B, there is nothing else to come in and replace it, because then that kind of nullifies a lot of what these things are about. But I'm really, yeah, I'm like you. I like the crypto people a lot. The spirit that they have is kind of the part of the spirit that I have too. And so I'm really pulling for all of them. And they have kind of helped me along too in terms of, you know, when it does come time to put some money down into these coins, which ones should I go with and why? And it works out really nice. But in a nutshell, that is my overall view on crypto. It's a little bit of a different view than you're normally going to get. I really temper the expectations when I hear all this hype news because it usually amounts to nothing. But I'm pretty bullish on the overall future.
Yeah, and this is a great time because we are, well, there really isn't much more, you know, downtrend to go. I mean, there's still, you know, it, 'cause things could still lose more money. Things could lose, you know, more value. It always can happen, but we are kind of getting so close to zero that, we'll see. You know, it looks like hopefully we'll one day see a bear market, one day, or even a sideways market would be nice. Because I actually saw a picture on social media of a Ferrari, and the license plate had an abbreviation for no hodl. like don't hold. Because I think something that really happened to a lot of people towards the end of 2017, when the crypto market started to go down 85-90% in for many things, was that they were new traders. And I was definitely a new crypto trader at the time. And nobody quite saw, they didn't quite get how far it was going to go. And so I think that at least a lot of the recent traders, like in the last 2 years, the newer traders, I don't think they're going to hodl again. I think now it's a bit of a dirty word, and people tend to think, okay, you should, you know, part of your trading plan should be take profits before someone takes them from you. And if you're going to, you know, hold something, for heaven's sakes, have a stop loss on it so you don't lose money or something. So people have gotten, I think the crypto community has gotten slicker in the last year of abuse.
I certainly think they have, maybe not to the degree that you're saying with the majority of them. I still think the hodlers are going to do what they do because they're looking to become, you know, millionaires and billionaires overnight. And usually when you have that mindset, you don't really have a win limit. I always equate it to that, you know, that guy you knew in college who you go to Vegas with, and he puts $100 down at the blackjack table and takes it all the way up to 2,000, which is 20 times your money. And then at the end of the night, he loses it all. Because there was really no point in that guy's head where he was going to stop. And I think it's kind of a diseased mindset, but I think that carries over into most new traders. I think you're certainly right. I think a lot of people have gotten slicker, and it's also introduced technical trading to crypto, which I think is great. I'm not quite sure how it works compared to technical analysis anywhere else because this market is so unique. But yeah, I think only good things can come out of this crash long term. And another great thing, and I said this on another podcast I was on, that a lot of crypto people started looking at Forex because it's a stable market that involves technical analysis, and they can trade it forever, no matter what the market's doing. And so I've had a lot of crypto people come over to my side, and I'm really, really grateful for that.
No, I like it too, because when the market is down and people have these skills, they start wondering, well, you know, while I'm waiting, where else can I make money? So I'm sure it must be creating a lot of traders in other areas, you know. So one of your great videos, the best trading tip I have for 2019, crucial, it says, and you mentioned before doing anything else, eliminate all of the things that aren't working. And that's a lot of wisdom, where it's not so much we all want to become a better trader and get better. But I think one of the things you're saying is, you know, if you just didn't lose as much, if you just lost some of your bad habits, you would make more. And maybe that's more of maybe that's an effective angle to be looking at.
And we really need to point that out because, especially males, you know, we're egotistical beings. So the first thing we don't think of is, okay, what are we doing wrong and how can we eliminate those things? The first things we think of, all right, how can we learn this and be amazing at it? And we ignore the obvious flaws in our own behavior. And like I just said, if you ignore those things, no matter how amazing you get at anything, it's going to take you down. You look at some of the best athletes of our time and how their careers were cut short because they just couldn't get out of their own way. I led off, I think that was probably one of the first videos I ever did, because I just want to, even if you're not going to fix them, I just want to make sure you are aware of them, and maybe over time we can recognize them and fix them, because I would hate for you to go through all of this and learn it all and get all excited and become really good at it and still not have it pan out. I felt that was really crucial. I don't think enough people, if anybody, really talks about it. And even over time, I put together a trading psychology playlist that really talks about identifying these flaws that most of us as egotistical traders do have. And let's see what we can do about them going forward.
I like that, because it does seem that there's not a lot of good, you know, trading education out there. I mean, there are courses one can take, and there's even, you know, good ones online, but they all sort of, at least in the crypto world, they all just kind of, you know, mirror each other. Like, here's how you can do the same thing. Here's how you can do the same thing. Here's how you can do the same thing.
Yep.
And it leads into a great video you did on, let's see, which one was that called? I forget the video name, but it's about the big banks. I think you mentioned it's like your number one, I forget the video title. But it's where you talk about
the top Forex strategy. Yeah. Those titles are very marketing heavy, if you haven't noticed.
they're great. Yeah. And when you talked about that, so that one particular, so it's something that crypto traders struggle with, and you covered that in your video about big banks, and it's called, yes, perfect. Big banks, and it's called the best FX trading strategies, the top strategy of 2019, I think, again, is what it was called. Anyway, sorry, I'm a little bit mixed up in my notes here. I never noticed until I'm actually talking to the person that I screwed up my notes. So, but you talk about, you know, who really controls the market, and it's banks. Like, they have ins, they can see what's going on, they can see the longs and the shorts, mm-hmm. and they can basically just play them against you. And something that I've found here in crypto, it's something that crypto traders are just really, really, really beating their head against the wall, and they're failing over and over. And I just think that they have a bad habit, and they don't realize it, that ultimately you can look at TA, you know, technical analysis of the chart, and you can look at what everyone else is doing who thinks we're bullish, we're bearish, etc. But really, there's this step you can go beyond it where you realize you're being played. Like, I mean, they fake us out and they dump it or they pump it. And how could that video you did about banks controlling really the market, controlling the value of currency, how could that help? How could that translate to the crypto trader who keeps getting wrecked? When they short, it pumps. When they long, it dumps. And they just do it over and over again. Even though TA told them, hey, it's definitely going up channel or it's definitely going down channel. But there was somebody who was watching. It's like, that video is like the best thing I think you've ever done. It is totally enlightening. And it's something that crypto, it's just killing crypto people.
Yeah, well, I think the people have spoken on that too. That video has twice as many views as the one next to it. But I don't know completely how the big banks factor in to crypto. I would really like to know. It's kind of a thing in stocks. I think it's kind of a thing in crypto. It is an absolute in Forex trading. So that's why I think it's so important. And that's another reason why that was one of the first videos I did. I'm like, all right, let's tackle the core stuff first, and then we'll start getting into more fine tuning. So that person that you're talking about that just keeps getting hit over and over again, it's kind of interesting. And like I said, we are egotistical beings. This is not something we would ever volunteer to do, but I think the bottom line would be tremendous. I also come from the sports betting world, and I knew a guy who realized he was terrible at sports betting, as are most people. He had something called, he would do Costanza bets. If you remember that episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza would just do the opposite of what he would normally do, and his life instantly became amazing. He did that with sports betting. He took everything he liked, he bet the opposite side, and he did tremendously and paid off his house and his car and actually made a really good career out of it for about 5 years. And then I think he died or something like that. But I mean, he was just on a roll. I mean, he could not lose just by taking the opposite side of what he liked. So if you recognize that you lose every time you do this, well, maybe just put your ego down for a second and do the opposite and see what that does. And maybe you can't just do that all the time from this point on, but look and see why. Why are you losing every time this happens? Try to figure out the mechanics behind these decisions. And if you can't do that, if all else fails, just fade yourself. Realize that you are a losing trader or a losing bettor or whatever it is, and profit off of that. It'd be a great thing. If I was wrong, 80% of the time, that would be the happiest day of my life because I knew I could just take the opposite side all day and retire young. You still with me there, Craig?
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. I'm sure it's something you've probably heard, a sentiment with traders, and people often say it with a sense of humor. We'll be debating, should we long, short, you know, how should we approach this? And then somebody will say, okay, I'm going to do this to you guys. So you guys know it's going to do the opposite. So.
And he would say that, but he wouldn't do it because we don't want to be wrong. You know, the euphoria of being right and making money at the same time is so strong that even if all the money was in taking the opposite end, we wouldn't do it.
Mm. Well, as you go through your core series, because you do make it very clear, hey, here's how to go through the material. It's there on the blog, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes where, you know, it's episodes 3 through 13 of the podcast, and then core concepts, money management, trades, like trading psychology and technical analysis. So you really lay it out like, here's a very, very formal education that will make you better. And I really would suggest to, well, anybody who's in the trading, but especially the crypto people out here, you know, definitely do this because you're looking at a lot of maturity, a lot of success, a lot of, you know, failing until there's no ways left to fail. And you have a great voice for radio. Like, did you ever like train to be a broadcaster, or is it just natural?
You know, I get that question a lot. I used to hate my voice for so long because I don't know what happened over time as I got older, but it was very nasally. It's still nasally now, but it was really bad before. And I used to, I think everybody hates the sound of their own voice, but I particularly did. I'm surprised when I get that question. I mean, it does have a baritone to it. And just by, you know, waiting tables for as long as I have, I know how to talk to people and I know what resonates with people. So I guess you combine those two things. Makes me sound like I had broadcasting ability at some point, but this is really kind of my first foray into doing that.
Wow, well, you're definitely a natural. And I think that what helps is when people don't like the sound of their voice. Some people never listen to themselves, or some people are just kind of in love with themselves and they think they sound great. But I think it's really the person who's very critical who goes, oh man, I hate listening to myself. It's like the worst thing I ever do. But it makes you critical and it makes you better, you know, and it makes you just, so that self-analysis, that really cold-hearted look at yourself it's helpful.
Yeah. And I knew no matter how bad I sounded, there's people out there that sound way worse that are doing really well. And so I guess the message there is that people really don't care. You know, it's the information that matters and how you present the information. Not so much what your actual vocal quality sounds like.
Definitely. One thing about podcasting is some people spend an insane amount of money and a lot of effort, a lot of trouble into creating super high quality, you know, audio and video. And the statistics show, I mean, like in looking at what people listen to and et cetera, it's that we can do video, but 98% of the people don't watch it. Even if it's on YouTube, they just listen to it. And then for the most part, the only thing people really care about audio is that the level doesn't go up and down so much that it blows their headphones off. So really, they just need to be able to hear you and they're happy, even if the audio isn't that great. Yeah, it's really the information that matters to people ultimately. Well, with the whole banks thing, yeah, it's like, who exactly is controlling crypto? Who makes it dump and who makes it pump? I mean, as far as I know, it's just big money moving in and out, but you can see the manipulation because it'll happen. You know, you go up, you know, 15-30% within 15 minutes and then you'll, you know, dump 60% and such like that. And I just think that in crypto right now, one of the things we're facing is, you know, very, very big money pump and dump groups who literally do it with the whole market and or just Bitcoin or one of the major coins. So I think the more you learn about and you realize that there's somebody manipulating it and you start to see the game that they play, it's almost like now we're doing TA against them. Now it's sort of like playing that game Battleship, like you sank my battleship. You know, you can look at the chart, but you realize, well, there's somebody else looking at that chart and they want you to think something because they're going to do something. So it seems like you really have to become, to be a good trader, maybe an aspect of it is truly being a student of life and just kind of a mercenary who's looking to make money and doesn't have any real, like, I don't need to make it strictly through technical analysis, because in the end, if I only do TA, that's probably going to fail because I'm being set up.
Yeah, it's really tough to put it in perspective in the crypto space, because like we said, I don't really know how much the banks play, how much individual people with a lot of money play. This is why I like Forex as much as I do, because you can pretty much take all those things out of it. It is a $4 to $5 trillion a day market. Now, spot Forex, what we trade, is smaller than that. But even still, somebody with a lot of money cannot come in and screw up your trade. It's just too big of a market. So branching off what you were saying a bit there, you can trade completely technicals. I mean, the only fundamental aspect of it is me being able to avoid news events. But that's the great thing about this, Craig, is you can just trade off of your charts. I show you how to put a system together that is pretty much robotic and emotionless and just tells you, hey, now you trade, now you sit out, now you manage your trade, and you just trade that way. And you can eliminate all of those other emotional factors, that sense of not knowing who's against me right now. You can take all of those completely out of the way. And on top of that, and I think all your crypto people would really enjoy this, this is a market that's going to move no matter what's going on. Whether there's a recession, whether crypto's way down, way up, whether gold's way down, way up, does not matter. This market just keeps right on churning regardless. You can trade it all the time, and you can trade it emotionless without having to worry about all that nonsense that you're worrying about right now. It's just a matter of putting those pieces into place, and that's what I try to do.
Yeah, it's like right now in the crypto market space, we even have cute terms for some of the manipulation. One is the Darth Maul candle, which is actually, it's got your body, then it has a huge wick up and a huge wick down. So they wipe out the longs and the shorts, and then they'll pump it. It's crazy.
Like Darth Maul's sword?
Okay. Like Darth Maul's sword. So we actually call it a Darth Maul candle, you know?
it sounds like a classic doji to me, but I know what you mean. Yeah. And, but then if there was manipulation after that candle every time, it'd be easy to predict, but there's just not, you know? So it's like, now what do? You don't even know when it's coming. And that, like I said, that's just a miserable, helpless feeling. And I've tried to do everything I can to get those situations out of my trading for good. And I just don't know if you can do that in crypto, because especially technical analysis in crypto, I don't know how people do it. I wish them success, but it just seems like a very uphill battle to trade crypto using technical analysis in this stage of the game. Now, I've never done it, but just from a mile wide view, man, you guys are pioneers and feast or famine, man. I hope you guys come out on the other side, because this is really uncharted territory. And I applaud you guys for diving in.
Well, I think there's kind of strength in numbers. So usually, at least for me, there's, you know, trading groups that I belong to, and we're all just looking at things a lot of different ways. And I think you start to get ways of feeling market sentiment. You start to get different ways of feeling when manipulation is going to happen. And there's certain times, depending on Bitcoin's mood, since it controls so much of the market, you know when you can get in. I mean, like right now, it's really, I really envy what you were saying about you use the daily candle and you trade 15 minutes a day. And I like that. I would like to do that. But like right now, it seems that, and maybe this is completely wrong, I'm kind of curious about your take on it, is that most of the crypto traders are doing 4-hour candles. Some are doing day, because you look at all of it, but really it's daily, but more likely it's 4-hour candle or it's 1-hour candle. We're just looking at, are we above or below on the 1-hour, the 200 moving average and such. It's pretty basic stuff, but we're really right now kind of struggling for that 5% gain, and then we get out, because it's been on a downtrend for, you know, almost a year now. And so, you know, everything is going to lose money if you stay in it. So it's really looking for those setups. You make a few percent and you're out. So you're pretty much scalping, or your trades are a couple hours, but that just seems to be life right now. And, you know, your method is daily, and you trade 15 minutes a day. I mean, do you think we're all doing it wrong, or is just crypto a unique market right now?
I'd say yes to both of those things. It's like we just spoke about. If everybody's doing this, what should you be doing? You know, clearly, you know, find the best method you can to get away from what they're doing. And the same is in forex trading. It's no different. People want that quick money, and once they get a taste of it, then that's what they want to keep doing. And the crypto people got ruined with this mentality because of the way it shot up the way it did. They don't really. Crypto people, I think, by nature, don't really possess the patience on a technical analysis scale to really sit back and let the market come to them, which is exactly what you need to be doing. I mean, the advantages for trading the daily chart are tremendous. I mean, one, you get your life back. Two, every technical tool you are using right now is more accurate on the daily chart than it is anywhere else. So for those two reasons alone, I all these people are breaking themselves, you know, gluing themselves to the screen, you know, looking at all these different currency pairs and all these different crypto coins, trying to trade them all. And I'm sitting back here 10, 15 minutes a day, probably beating all of them. So in the end, who's winning? You know, what would you rather have? For some people, it is the quick money and then the thrill. But at the same time, most people who go after it for the thrill, those action junkies that you hear about, never really make money in the long term. So you just have to take a step back and decide what you want your future to be in terms of how you make your money. And I've chosen mine, and I bang the drum constantly over why I think this is the best move. And you've seen it too. There's a lot of people who follow me who still trade 15-minute, 1-hour, 4-hour charts. And there are other people that say, hey, you know what? I really didn't want to do it. I got dragged away kicking and screaming, but once you finally got me on those daily charts, I never, ever looked back. And I couldn't imagine another way to trade right now. And so that's a big victory for me, because I know that's a tough sell. I know, again, we are just hardwired to want to go in and get that quick money and get out. But if you can manage to pull yourself away, and especially pull yourself away from the majority, Craig, I mean, you know, if the majority is doing one thing, that's probably not what you should be doing. It's a really great place to be when you can kind of sit back and, you know, not laugh because you don't want to laugh at them, but just kind of smile that, you know, in the end, you took the right route, and and you're getting rewarded for it.
As you put it in one of your videos, you don't want to be the popular guy, you know.
Not investing ever. No, maybe in stocks because there's that herd mentality, but anywhere else, I mean, no, the contrarians always win.
I like that. And that's a good point. I like that, because if you were trading the daily candles in crypto right now, you would be doing what most are not doing. So that's actually very good, because I like that. You do have a video, I think, called Patience. Do you? There's one on Patience?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been afraid to watch it. So maybe I'll actually like get like a nice big glass of red wine or something, some strong stuff, and just sit back and do my best. It might take a day or two to get through it. So I'm not very patient, but maybe that'd be a great tip for, you know, crypto traders out there, is watch, and I'll link to it, of course, you know, watch the Patience video, give it a shot. I know it's a very foreign concept. I know. I mean, it is for myself, but trust me, we can do this.
we can do this. The benefits are just endless. In particular, the one I've actually forgot to mention, just how much it filters out the noise, which everybody complains about. You know, all this crap you got to worry about as the day goes on. Imagine if you didn't really have to do that. You could just kind of sit back and let it occur, and then reap the benefits after the fact. I think you're right. That Patience video applies to almost every style of trading. And so, if you want to link that one down below too, I think that'd be great for people. That was a video to where people who I'd never heard chime in before on my channel said, "Hey, thank you so much for this." And then I never heard from them again, but that was the one that really resonated with them over anything.
I like that. So certain tips definitely for the crypto traders, you know, remove what does not work. If it doesn't work, stop doing it. Don't be one of the cool kids. Don't be popular. Do what people are not doing. It's going to be one of the most difficult things you ever do, but watch the Patience video. That's definitely helpful. And then also, because yeah, when you're on the, and of course, daily candles, give it a shot. Because one thing I noticed in crypto is that, you know, Bitcoin, which controls like 51, 52% of the market, it really drags the market up and down. You know, Bitcoin, it'll go up 2%, it'll go down 3%, up 2%, up 4%, these little bumps. And it's just, it's this big news story. But if you, and that's of course in the course of a day, but if looking at the daily candles, you can see it's going somewhere. You can see something's happening. But when you focus on like the hourly candles, it's funny, like crypto news is basically based on the hour. And you're right, it's so much news that it just becomes kind of, you start obsessing about 2% that doesn't amount to much on something that's worth like $3,800 right now.
Well, 2% is a pretty significant move anywhere. If I take a 2% win or loss in any currency pair I'm trading, you definitely feel it. So especially I think when you're that close to the action too, 2% is pretty extreme. But again, you cannot control any of these news events. You are pretty much relenting your hard-earned money to these news events that you have no control over. I don't understand why people would sign up for something like that. They probably just don't realize they're doing it. They probably don't think there's any other way. And so that's why I say what I say. If you guys are trading these smaller time frames, if you guys are in the majority, just understand that the market is feasting on you and you should not want that to happen and you should not allow that to happen. But so just know there are ways to avoid that. And taking a zoomed out view and trading on the daily time frame is a step in the right direction.
Well, I like the idea of what you just said, that the if you're trading, you know, the smaller time frames, the market is feasting on you.
They are. If you're losing, somebody's winning and it's them.
And that's very true. And then also, of course, trading the news, you know, like news, you mentioned in one of your videos, don't trade the news, because that's something in crypto right now. It's fun to keep up on crypto news and see what's going on, because you're seeing how the technology is changing and such like that. But yeah, I definitely at this point don't trade on news anymore at all. Don't buy because there's news coming out about something, because really you don't have a damn clue what that news is, how it's really going to affect things. And it oftentimes dumps things.
Yeah, there's so many bad aspects to news, not just what the actual news is, but then how are people going to react to it? How are the market makers going to react to it? Those are three things you have no idea, even when the news comes out. So now it's not one thing you can't control, it's three things you can't control. I mean, you're relenting and giving up your money to these factors when you can clearly just not do that. So choose the latter if you can.
Definitely. And then something you talked about that really helped me was creating a trading plan. And this is one, you know, and I guess I'm kind of talking to my, you know, crypto trading, you know, brothers and sisters out there, because I know we have a lot of the common bad habits. We all want to be astronauts, but we have a heroin problem, and we all, and you know, and we all need to definitely, before we do any more trading right now, eliminate all the things that aren't working, like you said. And I know one thing that is screwing a lot of crypto traders up is not having a trading plan. And maybe a person right now is like, they're just starting your coursework, and there's a lot of it out there. Maybe they've learned a few things, but they are trading daily or weekly, however they're doing it, and they really have no trading plan. And that just seems like, if you don't have a trading plan, even if it's not perfect, I'd imagine it's something which, at least myself, I'm constantly editing. I'm kind of perfecting it. And I know if I follow this, if I do these things, I don't lose money, or I very rarely lose money. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like and part of that is looking and seeing, hey, what doesn't work. And along with having the trading plan that you talk about, I call it the after action report, your trading diary, where you're noting it. If you're a plus, if you're a minus, you have a screenshot and you write, you know, some notes about it. It sounds odd, but those two things, which everyone should be doing, but I wasn't doing, have really, I mean, that has made me like tangible money since I started. Maybe that's something you could speak to, is that as far as helping, hey, crypto traders, here's something for you. You should have a plan, even if it's not perfect yet. Keep making it better. And then also log your trades, you know?
Yeah. And I think the reason why most people don't do those things is because on the surface, it's very boring. to where just going in and using your intuition and trying to get this quick money is very exciting and very thrilling, to where taking a step back and building a system and, for God's sakes, journaling your trades. I mean, who wants to sit there and do that? But once you see it start to work, and once you understand that having a system is better than not having a system, because I'm going to tell everybody right now, every professional trader ever in the history of ever has had a system that they follow religiously. So if you're not doing that, then don't ever think you're going to be like them, because you're not. You have to put this together. There's no other way. But what's really cool is when you start putting this system together and then backtesting it and journaling, it actually starts working really well. That's really exciting, because you know that if you can put together a system that has been proven to work over time, then what you can do now is just trade off of that. Take all of your emotions out of the way and just let the system trade for you. And that's, I mean, really, I think that's the one thing I've given people that they never had before, was just an actual structure. Doesn't even matter what it was, just the fact that it is a structure, to where before they had nothing, has made such a difference in people's trading already. Now it's just a matter of fine tuning it and saying, okay, now you have a structure. Let's make that structure really good. And that is what probably the majority of my videos right now are dedicated to doing. But just taking that step from being a rogue trader that doesn't have any real system in place, you might think you do, it's in your head somewhere, but you don't actually have a structure that A equals B equals C equals D. If these things all happen, I trade. If none of these things happen, I don't trade. You need something like that. And the good news is it's actually pretty fun to put together. It just doesn't seem like it right now. So that would be my number one piece of advice, because I love you crypto traders with this technical analysis, but it's such brand new territory. You're making all the mistakes now that a bunch of us made in other markets before. And the quicker we can get you away from that, and the biggest way we can do that is to get you into a real system, the better off you are going to be. Please believe me on this.
Oh, definitely. And once you have your trading plan and it gets into the requirements, the criteria before entering a trade, and you've made it and you have it like printed next to your monitor, you'd be amazed. I've been amazed. Okay, this looks good. I'm like, okay, yeah, I should definitely get in on this. Then I look at my list and go, what the crap am I doing? You know, this is like this is half-assed. I have a plan here that I know works, and I'm about to enter a trade that doesn't match that. It's odd, but we get our emotions get carried away. That structure truly leads us to sanity. It's odd. It's amazing how easy it is to lose yourself.
It really is, because we are emotional beings, whether we like to think we are or not, and especially, you know, I'm kind of foreshadowing into a video I'm going to be doing later. But just as men, we have this tendency to want to become great in a very short amount of time. This is something that women don't have, and it's the best thing possible, because women can be really, really great traders because of all the nonsense they don't have that we do. And this crazy amount of emotion that enters the fold when it comes to money and decisions like this is something that is very, very hard to eliminate. And that's where that structure comes into place. If you know that structure and that system works, and you can find a way to just rely on it. Like I have three things, and God, it was a video, it's called Winning. It's in the psychology playlist, to where if you just do these three things, am I allowed to curse on your podcast, Craig?
Absolutely.
Okay. These three things are: trade your system, stay the fuck out of the way, repeat. If you can put that up on your wall and just look at it before every time you're about to make a trade, your results will be far better than they ever would be if you deviated from those three things. It was up on my wall for a while. I don't need it anymore because it's just second nature. But for most people, you nailed it. Getting those emotions out of the way, because we all think we're super smart. We all think we can just inject our own brains into what's already happening and do better than an actual system that has been proven to do better. And we cannot do that. And we have to come to grips with that. So part one is getting that structure in place and putting it together and proving it works. And the great part about that is you will have it for the rest of your life. If it works in one market, it will typically work pretty well in others. And if it doesn't, you can just tweak it until it does. So there is nothing but upside to doing this. It's just a matter of getting out of those old bad habits, like we talked about, and getting into something that actually really works. And a big part of that is separating yourself from your ego and realizing that, hey, this can be your system that you put together. But the main thing it does is keeps your dumbass out of it. And, you know, in the end, it's money that matters. And the more money is on that side.
Definitely. I know that when I have my little, well, trading journal, you know, or in the, in the comments section, I know it's funny. This is something that this is like the power that it has, is when you're looking at your trading plan and something does not match the criteria and you're about to get into that trade, you look at your trading journal and you're like, I'll just fill out the comment right now. I'm a fucking moron.
And the worst thing that can happen is that trade wins and then you just justified your own moronic tendencies and you're going to do it again and again.
Yeah, definitely. But hopefully you can keep yourself from, you know, that false glory, because it doesn't help. Well, something that you mentioned about is psychology of men. In the military, it's very, very well known that women do two things better than men every time. They march better, which is not really a great accomplishment, but they also shoot better. In general, they're better marksmen. And it all comes down to, it's because they don't have an ego about it. Women just march. They just walk. Men cannot do that. They have to saunter, sway, look like hard asses. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't help you march. Doesn't help accuracy. Also, women look around. Am I in step? Men, no. Fuck all y'all. I'm in step.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what I mean?
We have so many crazy disadvantages that we don't realize. I'll go ahead and tell you what the video is going to be. It's going to be down the line, but it's going to say, look, more women should trade Forex because they have so many inherent advantages and that their learning curve is so much shorter than ours. It's just a matter of saying that you can do it, you know, realizing that that Forex doesn't care who you are. You know, it's a blank slate for everybody. Just get in and do it, because you are so far ahead of us from the start that you have no idea. So hopefully I can try to highlight that in the video for any of the ladies out there that are thinking about doing it, but just don't know if they'd be good at it. You probably would. Because it really comes down to, and I don't know where I learned this, it's kind of the American way of looking at money and investing compared to the German way. The American way is, you know, figure out how we can make a bunch of money, to where the German way is, let's see first how we can eliminate mistakes. And by doing that, then we'll automatically make a bunch of money. The German way is the much more intelligent way to go. I think women inherently already have that built into them, to where, you know, the rest of us are just like, get it, get it, get it, get it. And it gets in our way. And some people, like we just said, never get rid of those tendencies, to where women don't even have to worry about that for the most part. It's really great.
Oh, definitely. With men, like with marksmanship in the military, you know, a man kind of shoots with his ego and his perceived, you know, already having like an accomplishment as far as a marksman. But women, they just kind of listen, learn the instructions. They realize, okay, so I'm supposed to take a deep breath in, out, shoot at the bottom, then wait 2 minutes. Men cannot do that.
No. I thought, you know, the very first time I went shooting, it was terrible because I thought I already had it down. I was like, well, I'm going to kill this. You know, I'm already doing everything right. I was doing everything wrong. You just couldn't tell me that at the time. I also tried learning how to play the harmonica, and it was a huge disaster because, you know, the instructor is trying to show you how to play Three Blind Mice and you were sitting there just trying to wail on it, you know, because that's what you want to do. You know, you want to improvise, you want to be creative, you want to be this great harmonica player, but you need to learn Three Blind Mice before you do that. And I just couldn't get that through my head. So I gave up and I quit. But yeah, it's so funny you say that. And I think the military really does expose a lot of things that are inherently wrong with people to begin with. And I think that's really a great example, Craig, because what is the one thing it does first before anything? It breaks you down. It gets rid of all of those things, because without doing that, you can't really become a great soldier or a great anything.
Oh yeah. People will oftentimes say, well, I just want a machine gun and I want to just start, you know, shooting bad people. It's like, well, first you have to learn how to fold your underwear. If you can't do that, you don't get a machine gun. Yeah. I mean, You know, think about it. You know, meet us halfway here, people. You know, you want to go and do mass murder, but we don't even know if you know what left and right is. Like, we don't actually know, and you probably don't. You know,
there's a reason why it works.
Yeah, there's a reason why it works. Well, it's been great talking to you today. I don't want to keep you too long, but you know, one last thing I would ask is, so you mentioned you're doing a spot Forex trading. So for the crypto crew that's out there, the majority of the listeners here, how would they begin to approach that, learn about that? Like, where they'd say, okay, well, so VP does spot, you know, Forex trading. How do I get involved? Like, what direction would you steer them?
So I don't know if what I do works 100% into crypto trading, but I know a lot of it does, especially the core principles. And worst comes to worst, you know, you go through my videos and my material, you know, you'll learn how to trade a market that's going to be around for pretty much ever, no matter what the global economy is doing. So there's really nothing but upside. I would say either go to, there's two ways you can do it. If you are more of a video learner, go to No Nonsense Forex on YouTube. I have a video called the Beginner's Video. Even if you've been trading for 10, 15 years, doesn't matter. This is a system that is brand new to most people. So start there and it will tell you exactly what to do. If you are somebody who learns more through just reading text and blogs and things like that, just go right to the homepage on the website, nononsenseforex.com. And it says right there, start here. And it tells you exactly what to do. And it breaks it down. Just like you said, we learn how to fold underwear first, which is not something that people are really apt to want to do. But once they do it, they understand why. And they're like, okay. And then everything just builds on itself. And it's if it wasn't fun to learn, people wouldn't do it. But it's super fun to learn. And I try to explain it in the best way I can. I try to make it fun. I try to add a little bit of humor here and there. And it's... yeah, I think it's a great ride if you guys want to take it. If anything, just to have that, have another out, have another market that you can always turn to, you know, if crypto's not doing well for you at the time, you know, you can always go different directions.
Oh, definitely. And I would say that I'm halfway through the material so far and on No Nonsense Forex. And I love that there is a video and also usually a corresponding, you know, blog post with text and such. And that makes it, that's kind of, that works because you can watch the video and you got the text. It really helps you learn and absorb the data. And even if an individual is strictly crypto trading, no, this is like foundational knowledge. This is really important stuff. So it all translates into crypto just perfectly. In fact, and one of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on the show is I really think what you're providing is what most crypto traders are lacking. So it really helps.
Hey, it was a pleasure, Craig. I had no idea what to expect with this, but it was a great conversation. I'd love to do it again anytime.
Thanks for listening to Radiant Creators. Check out more content at radiantcreators.com. If you like the show, give it a like, share this, comment, keep the conversation going. You can also find us at alternatecurrentradio.com, where there's this show and a lot more.